Yeah, you stay. You stay up here, man. Because I'm going to talk to you in a little bit.
Yeah,
all right. Nice. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know. James, as he was talking about the be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which means renovation. And I installed some new sinks in my boy's bathroom. We bought this old house. It's 48 years old. It's as old as I am. That means I'm 48, confessing time. And so I was going to just put in a sink, and I put in the new sinks, and the metal pipes didn't line up with where the drain was. And so then I realized, all right, so I need to take care of these pipes. And then as I began to take care of the pipes, I realized that the pipes were no longer really pipes, but just a collection of rust that was still round. Right? And so I'm replacing the pipes, I keep going deeper and deeper in replacing the pipes until finally it's so far down the wall, I can't reach it anymore, and I'm like, all right, I'm done. Somebody else is going to have to go that far, that much deeper, in order to be able to renovate that. So we're talking about repentance, and James and I were talking about radical repentance, and I want us to take that a little bit deeper, and I want us to think about what it means for us to engage in something that's called identification repentance. And this is a difficult topic today because we get anxious whenever we're told that we need to repent about something. Right? Whenever anybody says, Brian, you did something, James, you offended me, immediately, you know, we get a little bit anxious, we sweat, we begin to kind of go, oh, what did I do, and is there some way I can get out of this? Yeah. Right? And so I want us to think about a couple of things. The first is this, John, you can go ahead and throw that up. It's this, we aren't designed for sin. I don't know if you know that or not, but you are not designed by God to sin. That's a result of the fall. God created us, put us into this garden that was perfectly designed for us to live in perfect community with one another, perfect community with God. And so when we encounter sin, our reaction is sin. When we encounter sin, whether it's my sin, so I got caught once when I was about 4. I had climbed up onto the counter in order to reach the top of the refrigerator to put my hand into the cookie jar that my mom had explicitly said, don't eat these cookies. And she came into the kitchen while I'm on the counter, my hands up into the cookie jar, and she says, are you taking a cookie? Guess what my response was? No. No. Right? I mean, it's like my hands in the cookie jar. Right? Our reaction is sin. So in the garden, when Adam and Eve get busted by God, who comes and is walking in the garden, and they're hiding because of shame, right? And God says, Adam, where are you? And finally Adam comes out and exposes the fact that he knows that he's naked and all of that. And God says, well, why are you hiding all that? And his immediate response, it's her fault. Man, we've been doing that for millennium. Right? Eve, is this true? It's the snake's fault. If you hadn't created the snake, we wouldn't be in this mess, God. Right? So when we sin, our reaction to sin is sin. We hide. We blame. We shift. We don't take responsibility unless we've been renewed. Unless God does a renovation inside of our mind that begins to manifest itself in an outward way. When we're sinned against, our reaction is sin. Right? So when Kathy does something, when she sins against me, you know what I do? I get pissed off. I get angry. And I figure out ways in which to retaliate. Right? All right, I'm not doing the dishes for a whole week. Right? My reaction to sin when somebody sins against me is sin. Mm-hmm. I hold on to a grudge and I keep track of the number of wrongs, right? And I don't remember that Jesus, when he taught us to pray, said at the end of that teaching on prayer, "For if you don't forgive those who've sinned against you, to the same measure your heavenly Father is going to forgive you." So we hold on to that. Our reaction to sin is sin because we're not designed for sin. In Leviticus chapter 26, this is where we're going with this. This is where it gets hard. If they will confess their sins and the sins of my ancestors, their unfaithfulness and their hostility toward me. See, when I'm hostile toward God, I usually act that out by being hostile towards those around me. You might be like me in that way. Which made me hostile toward them, so that I sent them into the land of their enemies. Then when their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they pay for their sin, I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and my covenant with Isaac, my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. Identification repentance is this: it is taking personal responsibility for the impact of the sins of my family, of my forefathers, my community, my nation, my race. This becomes really, really difficult, doesn't it? Because today it's 2015. And the 1800s were a long time ago, right? The 1700s were a long time ago. The 1600s were a long time ago. We have a hard time, and I want to talk to those of you who look a little bit more like me than maybe you look like James. Especially those of you who are of a male gender. We have a really hard time coming to grips with the idea that there is this thing called white privilege in our world today. And everything within us wants to say, "But it's not my fault. I didn't do that. I didn't sail a ship from England to Africa and then back over here to this new continent with a cargo hold full of people." But there's this thing called white privilege. I didn't own a slave. I wasn't there when the Civil War took place. I wasn't around during sharecropping. But you know what? I get to live with the benefits of a system in place in our country where I receive the benefit of the doubt before most others do. We got 10 minutes. You're a sweetheart. I live in a country where I experience a certain level of privilege based solely on my gender and the color of my skin. I don't know if I can say this. I think I can say this.
If you lean, you say it.
So there's an area here where I need to begin to identify with the sins of my ancestors and take responsibility for the impact that that's had. Because my reaction to sin is to sin, and I don't want to take that responsibility. I want to blame somebody else. I want to flip it for a minute. I'm going to talk to those of you whose skin color doesn't look like mine. You've been sinned against. Your ancestors have been sinned against. And there's a place where you need to be able to identify with the fact that you have not been forgiving. It's hard to be a white guy and say that. Am I right, Nate? But isn't that true? Why is it? It's because we're not designed for sin, and so our reaction to sin is to sin. And so we're living in a country where there's a whole bunch of white people saying, that's not my fault, and a whole bunch of black people going, it is your fault, and I hate you.
Come on.
For God to come and heal,
thank you, Jesus.
We need to have this inward transformation that James talked about. Go deep enough to the place where we begin to identify the fact and begin to take responsibility for the sins of those who've gone before us. So what does that look like? We identify the sin. We name it. Give it a name. When David went out and all the Israelites were hiding in their tents, right? He didn't just go out and knock down a big dude, right? That obstacle had a name, and it was Goliath, and he named the giant and took down the giant by God's hand. We name the sin. We confess the sin corporately in a public way. We name the sin. We confess that sin and our participation in that sin. We apply Christ's blood. Because Romans 8 tells me this, right? For those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no what? There's no condemnation. And if Jesus isn't going to condemn me, who then gets to condemn me? If Jesus doesn't shame me, who then needs to be ashamed of me? We apply Christ's blood and we walk in obedience.
Yes.
We live that out. Why? James chapter 5 says this, therefore confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Everything inside of me wants me to keep my sin a secret. Because if you really knew how horrible I am, y'all would write to the elder board at Haven Church. But we bring our sin into the light and we confess it. Healing comes. God's had me on this journey for a little bit over a year. I'll never forget, we're sitting in a circle at Center Point. There were just a few of us in that circle, and I looked at James, and I said, James, I think I'm a racist. James gave me a hug and he told me that he loved me. He publicly kissed me not long after that.
On the cheek. Let's make that clear, bro.
On the cheek.
It wasn't long either.
It was all wet and sloppy, man. And God's had me on this journey. And so in terms of walking into obedience and beginning to understand some of this, I decided I needed to do some work and find out, so where's all of this come from? So I'm here today, get this, because in the 1600s, a young Irishman was sold into slavery in order to pay off his parents' debt. And he was put on a boat to travel to the New World. I'm here today because there's a woman who was a Cherokee Indian who was displaced. Got married, had children. Not only was she a Cherokee Indian, American, a Native American, but she was like a spiritual leader. And not in a godly way. I'm here today because when you go back into my family's history and you bring them up out of the South, my family owned slaves. And then when the Great Depression happened, and folks moved from the South to Detroit for jobs, my grandfather on my mother's side brought his boy with him because he always had a black boy who helped out around the house. I'm here today because when I was born, it was in 1967, Baltimore, Maryland, and there were police escorts into the hospital because of the riots that were taking place. I'm here today because when my dad grew up in Detroit, and he was all-city Detroit for basketball, 5'10 and a half. Like me, a little taller than me, about 2 inches. But he could shoot a free throw, he could shoot from the outside, he had a touch. And when he was growing up in Detroit and he'd be playing basketball, underneath, along the side of the court, he'd receive death threats if he made that shot. So there's all of this stuff that makes me who I am today. It's all part of my history. That in my history, part of my family was in slavery. And in my history, part of my family owned slaves. And in my history, my own parents were afraid for my life when I was born because of the rioting and the anger and the hatred that was going on. And identification repentance means owning my sin. Owning the sin of my ancestors, of my family. Confessing it publicly. Walking in obedience. Part of the problem with where we are today as a nation is because of my family. And I take personal responsibility for walking into obedience, for that to be different.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I do say, I'm sorry. From someplace deep down inside, not the kind of sorry, not the kind of repentance, you know, where when your children are fighting and you say, you know, Michael, tell your brother you're sorry. I'm sorry. And you leave the room and pretty soon, you know, all chaos breaks out again and there was no repentance at all. But someplace deep down inside, there's a brokenness inside of me. Because of where we are. Is a result of where my family has been. And God's call on our lives is to bring that into the light, to pray for one another, and to be healed. And then as I'm healed, I can live more fully into the design that God has for me. And then as that happens, our world changes. But not until we have that inward, until we get struck in the mind by a blow that is hard enough to surface and bring into the light the darkness that has sometimes and in some places been hidden for generations. So I want to invite you to do some work at your tables. Can you throw up that slide with the questions for them, John? We've got a couple of questions that we want you to ponder at your table. What prejudices, sins, or other places of division have you inherited and likely participated in that God might be calling you to repent from? What struck you in the mind, and what are some intentional action steps that you will take today? Give it some thought. Before you answer, allow God to do a deep work. In fact, should we pray?
Yeah. Being led by the Spirit, because you said something, and I want to.